following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
This episode from Radioland is brought to you by the New York City Guitar School. Learning to play guitar doesn't have to be all that big of a deal, really. Everybody freaks out when it comes to learning something new, and you don't have to, actually. You don't have to go to, deal with a professional teacher at a school someplace in the town that you live in, and you're trying to, I know there's a lot of anxiety with that. You have to meet everybody's schedules. It's kind of odd and weird. You want to learn in the privacy of your own home, and now you can. Thanks to the New York City Guitar School, and you can go online and take a look for yourself and see how this works. It's a video deal, and you get access to all their lessons and all of their things that they can do, and they can take good care of you. In fact, right now, if you go to radio-memphis.com and look for the banner ad that says "Play Guitar Now" or "Learn to Play Guitar," click on that. It'll take you in there, and then look for the video called "Guitar Tricks, Tips, and Hacks." And it's a free video. You might even learn something new. You can see if this whole thing is even right for you. So go check it out. Radio-memphis.com. Look for guitar lessons and learn to play the damn guitar, will you? Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar. And this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello. Hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. And all of those of you out there in Videoland over in YouTube, how are you doing? Not that you could answer, but whatever the case. Glad to have you aboard this program. I know last week I got a little ranty. I had a bee in my bonnet, if you will, a burr under my saddle, a bug up my ass. It happens to the best of us, and such as it were. We were talking about rookies in this business, and in the broadcast business, and it's, it's frustrating. It is absolutely frustrating when people try to do what they claim that they're doing and they don't know what they're doing, and it becomes an issue for people like me, because quite frankly, this business doesn't deserve that. But for more on that, go to last week's and you'll know what I'm talking about. Of course, this time out, it may get sort of the same way. We'll get to that in a bit. I know that everybody has been consumed, I tell you. They are wrapped up in the augmented reality video games that are existing on your mobile devices. Holy Jesus. Pokemon Go. I know everybody's talking about it. I'm not doing a whole show on this. It doesn't deserve a whole show. No, I do not have the game on my device. I don't have time for that. Bit. I'm sure it's fun. My partner in the morning show, Kate Lucas, she has it. She and I have been talking about it extensively, and she was telling me how much fun it is. And from what I've seen, it does look like it. If I had the time to get into it, I probably would. God, if something like that was around when I was much younger than I am now, I mean, then again, living in this day and age as a youngster is kind of tricky. But anyway, the Pokemon Go is ushering in a whole new world of augmented reality games. You're going to see more of these things coming. People are walking off of cliffs. They're falling to their deaths. They're plummeting from great heights. You're hearing of people. I nearly hit one in the neighborhood the other day. He was walking across the street against the light. He wasn't paying attention. He had headphones on. He was doing his thing, and I nearly creamed him. And then when I honked the horn, he gave me this dirty look and was gesturing to his phone like, "I'm busy here. To hell." Nevertheless. Look out for the kids playing the augmented reality games. There'll be more of those coming. You know what's happening. There's just, it's too big of a market now to pass up. And now that the toothpaste is out of the tube, if you will, it's a pretty big deal. So be on the mind for that. Also, be on the mind for people posting pictures of their children on Facebook. Why do I mention this? I'm torn. If I had kids, I don't know that I would. If I had little kids, youngsters, I wouldn't put pictures of them on the web. There's a lot of freaky, creaky, creepy people out there. I don't think that it would be doing the kid any good by doing so. I was scrolling through a little while ago before I sat down here to do this show, and somebody had posted a picture of their kid or their grandkid or whatever, and you know, the kid's doing kid things, and they're shooting a little video, and it's, oh, it's cute, oh, look at my kid, you know, we're gonna make him internet famous, which is really the topic of what we'll get into today. Before I go into what it's like to be internet famous and what to take, were you taking your kid to be internet famous? Let me tell you this. Your kid is hideous. I'm not going to name any names, but goddamn, it's as if Frankenstein's monster and the Bride of Frankenstein finally had that kid. This kid has a square head. And the hair, all this little bastard needs is bolts sticking out of his neck. Ugly son of a bitch. God damn. I know it's not the kid's fault. Oh, they'll grow out of it. Somebody's got to claim that little bastard, and it's not me. Now, that kid is getting a taste of being somewhat internet famous, I suppose. You know, the Chewbacca mom. This bitch needs to go away. Enough. She now charges money for autographs at comic cons, you know, comic book conventions. Why? She went to a store. She bought a toy. She put it on Facebook Live. She had a cute, giggly laugh. And everybody lost their shit over this. They all went just complete ape over the fact that this bitch was doing this, and for her 15 minutes are up, and now she is somehow in demand to go to these comic book conventions and charge $20 for her to sign your shit. No, she did not display any talent. She did not do this. This piggybacks on last week's thing. I know, but damn it, I got to get it out because I see some things online, you know, in the world of the internet, and I'm astounded by it, quite frankly. And I know some of you out there may be going, "Oh, you're just jealous, bro, because you don't have the followers that my man has." I don't know that I want those kinds of followers. Seriously, there's a series of videos. And I can't think of the guy's name, or I give him credit for it, because quite frankly, he's earned it. He's an Asian fella. I think he's out of Indonesia somewhere, if I understand the story correctly. And he's put out a couple of rap videos, and they're pretty entertaining. I will give you that. They're fairly entertaining. But one of his earliest videos is of him taking a slice of bread and putting it into the microwave, you know, to heat it up, I suppose. But the problem is... And he doesn't go back and reshoot this. He let it go. The battery died on whatever camera he was using to shoot this thing in, and he didn't get to do a sum up. It was just a setup, no punchline. 5 million views. 5 million views of a guy microwaving a slice of bread. In comparison, I'm trying to provide some social commentary, perhaps. I'm trying to be somewhat more cerebral if we can. But no, I'm not microwaving bread, but I may have to rethink this whole approach. Perhaps I should sit here and microwave some bread. Perhaps I should, I don't know, do something esoteric. Fold a non-unique paper airplane out of a, you know, piece of paper or some shit. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I should sit here and polish my glasses for a moment. Have a cigar. Has the public gotten to the point that is entertaining to them? And apparently I've just answered my own question, because I think there's a lot of truth to that. Because here's the deal. The youngsters are not watching television anymore. They have everything in it. We've talked about this. They have everything in their tablet. They have everything in their phones. They're watching their shows. They're doing whatever it is that they're doing. But they're watching the YouTube stuff, and they're watching the guy microwave the slice of bread. I don't know who the fuck this guy thinks he is. But this is part of it. This is what these kids think is true entertainment. Therefore, what's happening behind, you know, the current generation of adults who do watch television, and I mean a step up of the 18 to 34s, that's the last television generation. That's probably what it is. Those of us that watched David Letterman would probably be, those of us who really liked that show, the late night show, the late night David Letterman over on CBS, that, when he went off the air, is probably the seminal point of our television watching as young adults, or as an adult at all. He goes off the air, it's done. TV's done, let's shut it up, we're done. We're all moving everything to the web. We're moving radio over there. We're moving video over there. Hey, look, I got a guy who's microwaving bread for a while. And he stares into the camera while it's happening until the camera runs out of gas. And then he writes in the comments, sorry, I ran out of gas. I just thought I'd just go ahead and upload it anyway. Not even making an excuse. Not even trying to apologize to his audience that he just put up a shitty production. And he got 5 million fucking views or more of this. It's astounding to me. What that means, what that is, what is professionally driven entertainment now. The people who are consultants in television, and I've heard this because I've dealt with these people, they will tell you that we are skewing younger. We've got to attract this younger audience, and we've got to do all of this. I was at a local affiliate making an appearance on a television show here in town, and outside the on the way into the studio, on the wall are a series of posters for some shows that they promote. And one of them was a poster of a television host, a talk show host, and he's standing there. And the very first word at the top is younger. Younger, hip, creative, funny, late night. And they and the word younger was even in bold. So they're actually trying to reattract these younger kids back into television. And kudos to the guy they're talking about, because he knows how to use the internet as his way to wrangle that back in. And it tends to work. The guy, I think the guy's pretty funny. He's very talented. But to see how the consultants are trying to spin it back, they're going after the internet generation of people that are watching it. Meanwhile, you got the content providers. The Indonesian kid with the bread in the microwave. And he's got an enormous following. I mean, another video, he had like 12 to 13 million views. And if you had that in a regular primetime television show, if you had 10 million loyal viewers, you would be huge. You would be enormous. It would be massive for television. So they're trying to capitalize on pulling all of this in. And is it working? No, because TV hasn't figured it out. I'll tell you why. Because at that same station that I was at, I had heard from one of the members of the staff there, was we were talking about, hey, do you guys happen to, I have some people out of town that are interested in seeing my appearance on this show. So it was live television. You guys are streaming this, right? And she said, no, we're not, because our general manager still believes that the internet is a passing thing. It's the internet. Hey, you want to watch it? You got to tune in live. Can't sell it. And as I walked out after my appearance, after I walked out of the building and I walked by, you know, on my way to the front door there, and I'm turning in my visitor's badge to the lovely receptionist there, and behind her is the office where the general manager of this station is sitting. And of course, it's a glass lined office, and he's in the corner, and he's out over there looking in the parking lot. And he's got his feet up on his desk, and he's on the phone. He's making that next big deal because, you know, and after I've just heard, oh, we can't sell any commercials. No one's buying over here. You know, the internet sales are doing okay, but, you know, they're all wanting more live streaming content. Oh, my fucking God. Imagine that the audience wants more live streaming content, but the old guy at the corner office is going, nope, the internet is a dying thing, and it's not going to make it. I've actually had that spoken to me in regards to the history of Radio Memphis, when I was in a meeting with an advertising agency here in town, picking up some national ads for us, trying to sell that time, you know, hustling, going, hey, baby, look what we're doing. And this guy who was their media buyer was an older man, and he flat out freaked out when he realized that the internet was killing his beloved AM conservative talk radio. It was freaking him. He got angry. He sat there and I watched him as I'm talking to him. His face gets redder and redder and redder. It's like he's gonna explode. And he's kind of shifting a little bit, and he's sweating. He's sweating while we're talking about this. While I'm explaining to him, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that have come and blah 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 blah. And you know, if we do this, we do that, we're in 160 countries, and then all of a sudden, when I paused and I looked at him, his anger at a peak, and he's squinting, and he's got the little tick thing going. Like, remember in the Pink Panther movies, you know, the commissioner, the police commissioner, is always upset at Clouseau, and he get that little tick. This guy was starting to get the little tick, and he's going crazy. And then all of a sudden, in this moment of silence, he farted. It wasn't like a big bullhorn frog fart. It was just this, you know, just this little squirty, little high-pitched harmonica fart. He farted. He got so upset with me and so angry at the fact that I was telling him the truth about how the internet is not only here to stay, but it's here to take over a lot of things. And you got to learn to adapt to it and jump onto it. Get, you know, come on, let's go. Trust me, this is a good time for this. And he's just seething, and he got upset. And he didn't want to understand the truth. There's a lot of truths that exist in this world that I personally don't want to understand. I don't want to believe them to be true because I live in that world. Everybody has that. There's always something from, it doesn't matter how old or young you are, there's always something that you hear and you know is there, which you just don't want to believe it to be true, you know? And here I've touched on this poor man's thought that guys like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh were going to go away someday because they didn't know what to do with the transition, because those guys, they think that the internet is full of shit and they don't want to get lumped into it. And as such, the old guys are just driving to work and their $80,000 car listening to a $5 radio that's pulling in a $2 signal, and it sounds like complete ass. You got a 14 speaker Bose system in your goddamn car, and you're hearing this AM radio shit coming through there, and you're thinking, oh my God, yes, thankfully there's great radio. And you just shake your head. You just wonder. And then you go to work, and then you find out that there's a guy waiting for you in the conference room. He's going to talk to you about how wonderful the internet is, and you get upset and you break wind. It's a tough life, I get it, but still, you know, there is so much more to this world than having to worry about shit like that. And what's funny to me is when you see the corporate guys, because corporate, they don't get it. And I'm talking collectively corporate. I know there's a lot of individual corporate people that some are halfway decent. They're just stuck in a job that they fucking hate. I know, I've been there, I've seen it. And then there's the corporate guys that are collectively looking at things like the internet and they're going, we got to cash in on this. We got to make this happen. We got to do something about this now. We got to make this work. So what are we going to do? Well, somebody goes, let's go get the guys that are doing the shows on the internet and let's put them on real TV and we'll make it work. And then somebody tries that shit and then it falls flat on their face because the people in the internet world don't understand real production. They don't understand the effort that goes into it. And they're not, you know, they're so used to seeing those comments come pouring in when you know, immediately when the show goes out onto the web, when it just pops up. That's what happens. It's just the immediate feedback that we're all expecting now. Because if I take a picture of my ugly ass child that looks like Frankenstein's monster and I put him up on the internet, I'm expecting comments to come back and I go, oh, what a cute little baby. Oh, you know, we all know what they're saying. God damn it. Get your fucking ugly ass kid off of my feed. But still, it's comments. It's engagement. That's everything in the internet. That's what drives it. And you cannot engage with your television unless this is a theory of mine, I've been testing it out for a while. You cannot engage with your television unless it's one of two things. Live. Excuse me. I sound like Bobby Brady. Live. Live television. And somebody monitoring a Facebook feed or a Twitter feed or an Instagram feed and answering questions using the hashtag thing, which I've seen work to some good success. Or all of the seasons of a show get dumped out there like what Netflix does and certain shows there. Then all of a sudden you're watching people consume it, because when you're on the content provider part of the whole equation, you can watch it, just you can watch these numbers just go. Every day they just keep going up and they keep going up, and now you're getting engagement. You're seeing what's happening. You're able to see how long they're staying on to the show. You're seeing what all they're going through. They're enjoying the dog shit out of it and having a fine time. But the rest of the time, the rest of the entertainment that is out there just disappears into the ether the moment it's created. It may last a moment, and it might get a little bit of traction, and it fades away and goes away. Pokemon Go, we talked about at the beginning of the show, is an absolutely enormous engagement thing. It's an app, and people are going crazy for it. And it'll last for a while, and then it'll taper off, as does everything. But it hit big, baby. It went huge. Because, you know, there's some corporate people that are going, we're going to find a way to cash in on this Pokemon Go thing, huh? What do we got to do to attract people? Because, you know, they're going to turn it into a money-making thing. That's what you do. And it'll be copies and knockoffs and everything that goes with it. You'll see a post in social media, not necessarily the ugly-ass child, but you might see like a Chewbacca mom. That happens. It comes around every so often. There's somebody that does something extraordinarily cute, and then it truly does go viral. Viral you can't predict. You can't necessarily orchestrate it. You can try. There are companies out there that attempt it, but it doesn't necessarily work out that way. But with her, with the Chewbacca mom thing, she actually has a name, and I know it, but I don't know it, and I'm not going to say it here if I did. Bitch needs to go away. Because she wasn't funny in the first place, God damn it. It's just, you know, there's the rest of us that work our balls off, work our tits off to try and entertain you people for nothing. For nothing. And this happens, and you get frustrated. Me, I'm just being a little sarcastic. I'm fine. Thank you for asking. But some posts have a little bit longer life than others. I've been a part of those. Those are interesting. It's interesting to see that happen. It's interesting to see it come back around. It's interesting to hear the echo when you speak of something and it bounces back from a different place. It's a really unique experience, and I'm grateful for that. It's fantastic. And then a lot, you know, most of it. Think about 99% of the things that you see in social media, they hit and then they're gone. Not even hit. Sometimes they just lay there. Mostly like political shit. It goes and it may spark a little bit of a fight, and an hour later tops, it's done. It's gone. It's disappeared. Breaking news. It hits. People react to it. They talk about it for a little bit and it goes away. Somebody does something extraordinary and it's captured on camera live, Facebook Live. Say what you will about Facebook, and I don't like it either, but Facebook Live, which was meant to put the power of your surroundings out for everybody, is now being involved in the fight for social equality. We've actually watched people die on Facebook Live. Mark Zuckerberg never intended for that to happen. You know that. But he's not upset that it hadn't. You know, he's not upset that this sort of thing is gone the way that it's gone. Just people are talking about it. I just mentioned it. And perhaps I'll dabble into Facebook Live myself. It's just that some things I feel need to have a little bit of polish to it. Live television, live video, it certainly has its place. It really does. There's a good and a bad to all of it. But creating, just for the sake of creating, I'm going to put a slice of bread in my microwave oven and I'm going to microwave it for a little while and then we're going to have some fun. 5 million views. Did I mention it? 5 fucking million views. That's what it was last time I saw it. It's probably far more than that by now. But holy jumping Jesus. And it makes me rethink what I've done. some 20-something, 30-something years in this business, in this broadcast business, as an entertainer, as a presenter, as a voice, as something. And now what's it worth? Sometimes I wonder if it's worth anything at all. Then again, I'm hoping that someday my day will still come and I'll get to experience another heyday. But then again, there's probably a lot of these youngsters that look at me and go, who's the old guy trying to be cool?
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
The thing is, right now, you can go to Fiverr.com and get somebody to do it for $5. And there's a couple of freelance sites that were offering voice actors like myself. They said, well, you could bid on a job. So it becomes an eBay type of situation. Now that you're bidding for your own future here. And it's a reverse type deal. How low can you go? And you'll see these posts and it's like, hey, I need a voiceover for a 10-minute video that's going to be played on my website. And I'll bring you, I'll give you the copy and you lay it out there. It's 10 minutes, right? 10 minutes worth of stuff. And their budget was like $50. And I just, no. There are professionals out here that are getting caught up in this. And this is wrong.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Some really cool stuff can be found at one of Memphis' own unique gift shops. I'm talking about Wizards. Those of you that live here in Memphis know what I'm talking about. Wizards has been around a long, long time. 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown there. They're open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's the place to go to get the Memphis's Fuck shirt. They've got some groovy hats. They've got an adult novelty section, baby. Ladies, how are you? They've also got Woodwick candles, a great selection of incense. They've got some fun, groovy gift shop. It's one of the premier alternative smoke shops in the city, and it's been around a long time, and it's a cool spot to go check out. Those of you that don't live in Memphis are going, thanks, bro. Do this. Go to our website, radio-memphis.com. Look for the banner ads, any of the postage stamp ads, any of the ads that say Wizards on it. Click on it, go into the shop. You can buy some cool stuff, like get yourself a really cool lava lamp. He'll ship it to you. You can shop in safety and in comfort online. Wizards, because it's still smoking. It's time to get into some music, children. This band that I've got this time out could not be, I've met these guys a couple of times, and I've kind of known them in and out of the scene for a while because they've been around a long time. They love to rock and roll, and they do such a great job with it. They have a fantastic deal. They've been around since around 1987. They formed originally out of Nashville, Tennessee. They've got a brand new EP that came out early last year. That's what they're on the road with right now. You can probably catch them in an area near you. I'm talking about Every Mother's Nightmare. Somebody just went, what? You got EMN? You're goddamn right I do. And I've got a song from their brand new EP called Grind. We're going to talk a little bit more about Every Mother's Nightmare. If you hear this, this is Loco Crazy from Every Mother's Nightmare from Radioland.
One to the left.
Get down, baby. That's some serious rock and roll. Every mother's nightmare from Radioland. Loco Crazy, a song in regular rotation at radio-memphis.com. It's from the brand new Grind EP. Go pick up a copy of it. You'll dig it. It's good stuff. They'll probably come to a town near you here real soon. I know they're doing a lot of festivals and stuff too. But yeah, good guys. They could not be sweeter. I was at an event a few weeks back that had to deal with the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, and these guys were there. It was a Grammy thing, and I ran into them, and we were hanging around the bar because, you know, that's what you do in this. That's, hey, Rick, you got it going, man. You get to sit at the bar with rock stars. Yes, sir, I sure do. Life's good for me. But no, we had a great chat about how the business is going, and they're great cats. We'll have them back on the air at radio-memphis.com here fairly soon. They'll be back in town, and we'll do something online. So just, you know, stay tuned to the radio station, and you'll learn more about Every Mother's Nightmare, an act that's been around a long, long time. All right, you've heard what's coming up next time. I think I'm going to go. I have to go get a cocktail. I'm a little worked up. I know the last week, this week, it's been a bit much with the sarcasm here. Not really sarcastic. I'm not really being sarcastic. I'm being honest, and that's the hard thing about it. Where's the line drawn between humor and sarcasm when you're talking about things like being internet famous, and when you get people that are microwaving a slice of bread and getting all those views? Fucking astounding to me. Absolutely impressive. But what do you do? You know, you learn to cope with it, you learn to move along with it, and you do the best that you possibly can. But next time, you heard what's coming up there on the program then. So yeah. And look, in the meantime, if you're going to be playing the augmented reality games, please be careful. If you would, go with a friend, go with a family member when you go out and do it. I think it's great to get you outside. Go have some fun with it. Seriously, go do it if that's your thing. But please be very careful. There's your people are falling. They're walking off of cliffs, for God's sake. This thing is about to debut in Ireland, and I know there's going to be some dumbass that's going to walk right off the cliffs of Moher trying to chase that little fucking animated creature. Be careful, take a friend, and have a good time with it. And also, please, for the love of God, don't shoot each other, okay? Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.